Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast, where we'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way, we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 59, Starting and Charging Systems, The Basics. This is one that, you know, again, I'm just kind of going through different systems in the cars. This one came up in my mind and I thought, oh, well, okay, I haven't talked about that one yet. So I'm going to try to stay reasonably basic. I'm going to try to kind of hit the highlights in my mind of just to give you kind of a basic understanding of the hows and whys and what fors in regards to starting and charging systems in your typical car. I'll going to apologize up front if you're normally familiar with my voice. I sound a little bit probably nasally. I got a bit of a cold, so, you know, oh well, here we are. Doing a podcast anyway, what the heck. So, okay, first off, starting systems. Well, what are they for? Well, basically, you've got to turn or crank over the engine fast enough to allow the engine to create enough compression and allow other systems to supply proper amount of fuel and spark for the engine to start. That's basically what a starting system is for. Okay, if we want to go way back when, it was you were hand cranking it. So that's definitely way before my time. You know, starters came out to where people no longer had to hand crank the engine, and you could get hurt doing that. If it kicked back on you, you could break a wrist or an arm, no problem. And it was definitely a process to start a car before starters were ever invented, literally, and or, you know, became common on cars. So what makes up the starting system? Well, first we have the battery and the cables and wiring, the ignition switch, and if there is any electronic immobilization system used in the car, and the starter, basically. Okay, I'm going to talk real quick about what's called the BMW system, which is called EWS, which is a German acronym for Electronic Immobilization System. Most cars today have some kind of a, where the ignition key, whatever that is, has some sort of a chip in it where it has, it's basically the chip, when you put it in the ignition switch area or key area, it communicates with some sort of onboard system that it identifies that electronically, yes, this is the right key for this car. It is, you know, it matches it, and it starts and allows the starter operation to continue when you push or turn the key, push the start button, turn the key, whatever the case may be. And that also typically is also telling the engine management system that, yes, it's okay to supply fuel and spark as needed. And again, it allows the starter to operate to, you know, turn the engine over or crank it over to allow for proper engine starting. So in later model cars, obviously, it's not just a battery, cables, ignition switch, and starter. Okay, you have potentially all kinds of electronic systems involved in allowing that engine to crank over. So obviously, yes, it has become a little bit more involved in regards to diagnosing why a engine is not cranking over. I mean, you could potentially have a bad key, you know, which any of these things that I'm going to talk about and have talked about as far as starting anyway, they can, the car does not necessarily give you any kind of warning. Yes, it's possible it could start cranking over slower, and you may or may not notice that. You know, that could be a battery issue or whatever the case may be. But it's just as potentially likely that you'll have no warning at all, that you're, you know, out running errands, you're driving around, you stop at, you know, the local mall, you come out to go to start the car, and nothing, okay? All the lights come on in the dash, you push the start button, you turn the key to the start position, and nada, okay? No click, no nothing, okay? Or sometimes you could get some noises, clicks, or whatever the case may be. You know, the starters today do not necessarily give any kind of fair warning, okay? Basically, the engine needs to crank over or turnover at about 150 to 250 RPM for the starting to occur. Okay, that's in today's world. So, you know, if you have a battery that's really, really low, and let's say the engine's doing like a, you know, and you're thinking, well, why won't it start? Well, it's not turning over fast enough. Okay, that's not to say that it won't start, but you're on the ragged edge of, if it was turning over once every second, and there's 60 seconds in a minute, that means that the cranking speed would be 60 revolutions per minute. Well, obviously that's well below 150. Okay, so it's debatable whether it would start or not. Okay, so it's got to be cranking, you know, at a decent speed to actually allow to, you know, compression to happen and the different systems to come online to be able to properly start the car. Part of that would be, as far as, you know, the system itself, would be that the battery and all the wiring connections must be properly maintained in good condition. The battery needs to be properly recharged by the charging system, which I'll talk about in a little bit here. And obviously the starter needs to be in good condition. There is the possibility that a non-starter or a slow cranking is not necessarily a battery or a starter. There are cables involved and there's all kinds of connections involved, whether they be power or ground. I mean, you could have a bad ground connection or a bad cable between, let's say, the engine block and the body. And that alone can, you know, create starting issues because the starter is not seeing proper ground. And because these are very heavy amperage devices that are drawing a lot of amperage, which requires a very large cable, if that connection starts to go, you know, south, if it starts going bad, whether through corrosion or it's loose or whatever, then it's going to have a pretty big effect on, you know, the starter operation. Okay. Another thing, you know, getting back to the battery, is that on a lot of late model cars, and I can certainly specifically talk about BMWs because that's what I work on, but I would venture to guess that most cars, later model cars, throughout the entire car range, you know, car manufacturing type, or brand, I should say, they probably all use relatively similar systems. But again, BMW specifically, because of all the electronics in the cars now, one of the things that the engine management system does, it's what's called an energy diagnosis report, okay, which is something that can be retrieved with the proper scan tool, the proper computer and software, to where you can go into the engine management system and it will record over time quite a bit of information, actually. It will look at how many start cycles the car has gone through. It'll look at your what's called driving profile. So a technician can actually pull this information and see, are you making a lot of short trips? Okay. Is the car sitting a lot where it's not being used? It'll show typically what's called closed circuit measurement, which is, in other words, are there battery draws or are there circuits that are coming on and staying on or intermittently coming on that are not supposed to, okay? The electronics in the cars today, they will literally, if the car is sitting, there are systems that will come online for maybe a minute or less and then go offline, okay? Basically, with BMW, the car should do what's called go to sleep, within about 16 to 20 minutes. Okay, at that point, the actual amperage draw should be around the 30 to 50 milliamps. Now, that's typically not even enough to light up a very, very small regular incandescent light bulb. Okay, I imagine it might be enough to light up an LED or something like that. I'd be honest with you, I really don't know. But as a, for instance, like a normal brake lamp bulb, that takes about 1 to 1.5 amps to light it up, okay, or what it draws to be lit, okay. So this is where, like, if someone, you know, in the old days, if someone were to accidentally leave their glove box partway open, or maybe their trunk light was intermittently coming on, over time, that's a good 1, maybe 1.5 amp draw. That will pull the battery down, and it will drain it, okay. It'll take time, but it'll happen. The interesting thing about, you know, this newer technology with driving profiles and energy diagnostic reports is that the car will actually record that. Now, it won't tell you what circuit that's happening in, or, you know, it only knows that something's happening in the car, okay, that's not supposed to be, as far as some kind of an energy draw. The thing that gets interesting, getting back to this driving profile thing, is that with all of the electronics, of course, this puts a heavy load on the battery and potentially the charging system, but certainly the battery. So if you are the type of person that, you know, your normal use of that car is very short trips, maybe you're running a bunch of errands, maybe it's job related, maybe it's just that's the way you use it, is you don't ever get out on the road and drive it 10 or 12 or 15 miles or more at a given stretch, okay? The issue, because of all these different systems operating in the cars, is it gets interesting when the driving profile that the technician's looking at, he or she begins to realize that this person's only taking like, you know, 2-3 5-mile trips, and they shut it off. And so typically with a BMW, it'll go back as far as like 30 days. And so if you're sitting there seeing, you know, 10, 15, 20 super short trips, and maybe 4 or 5 that are a little bit longer, and then 1 or 2 that are a little bit longer than that, and their complaint is well, the car either it didn't start, or I noticed that it's cranking kind of slow. It gets a little bit interesting in talking with a customer about that, because, you know, they're basically, I mean, what's essentially happening is that because every time you start the car, you're taking a certain amount of power out of the battery. Well, once the car starts, then the charging system, which I'll talk about in a moment, that's what it's designed to do, is to put that energy, that amperage, back in the battery, and to maintain the battery, and then also, of course, run the car as far as any electrical demands that the car has while it's running, okay? Well, if you only drive the car 2, 3, 4, 5 miles, and you're not necessarily, depending upon how you drive it and the conditions and so on and so forth, you may not be completely recharging that battery. And then you come to your stop and you stop the car and you go in and do your errand and you come out and restart it. Well, now you've used more power again, and then you only drive it 2 miles and you stop the car. You see where I'm going with this, okay? So it gets interesting when, you know, maybe the car is due for a battery. You know, it's still part of the process is to diagnose, is there a battery issue? Is there a connection issue? Is there a charging system issue? And, you know, maybe the battery has now gotten weaker because the car's not really being driven the way it should be, okay, or needs to be. So, you know, there are times where I'm talking with a customer, I'm saying, look, no one's telling you how to drive your car or where to go or whatever, but here's what the car is saying is that, and I'll ask them, I take it based on what I'm getting the information from the car, is that you take a lot of short trips on this car, like 2, 3, 4 miles. Well, yeah, you know, I'm just, that's how I drive it. I don't have to go very far. Well, the problem is, long term, here's what happens. And so I describe that to them, and I go, you know, I'm not trying to tell you where to drive or how to drive, but my recommendation would be is that either, if it's possible, start taking it on some longer trips, okay, 10, 12, 15, 20 miles, okay, or if you don't, you know, especially if you it's short trip and there's times where the car sits for 3, 4, 5 days, you may have to consider going out and getting what's called like a battery tender. It's essentially a very small, low amperage battery charger. They're basically called a battery tender, and it's used to you connect it to the battery and you plug it into the wall outlet, and so it's used to maintain the battery. Okay, now a person could say, well, geez, I can't believe I'm supposed to have to do that. Well, you know, you have a newer car, it's got a buku amount of computers in it, and they're constantly coming on and going off. You know, if you want the battery to last longer and you're not changing your driving style, well, that might be something you may have to consider doing. You may not like it, but that's where we are with the technology. And I would say certainly in California, most people, that's not an issue because, yes, they are driving longer distances and so on and so forth. But that is something to, you know, that's happening out there. So, okay, charging systems. Well, what are they? Well, in the old days, we would be talking about a generator, okay? Certainly newer days, like from about the 60s? Yeah. 60s, early 70s, alternators came out. So the charging system consists of either the generator or the alternator, cables and wiring, and then any control systems used to control the charging voltage and rate of charge. Okay, just real quick, generators produce DC voltage. That's just the nature of the beast. It's the way they're designed. Cars aren't using generators anymore. They've gone to what's called alternators. Alternators internally, not that you need to know this, but, you know, it might be a neat little conversation piece. Alternators internally actually produce AC voltage, but then there's also what's called a rectifier, which internally rectifies. It's called a diode pack. It internally takes the AC voltage and it cuts off half the sine wave and turns it into a DC voltage. Okay, so the output is DC voltage. Well, a person could say, well, what is that? What are you talking about, Brad? AC voltage meaning alternating current, DC voltage meaning direct current. Okay, direct current only goes in one direction. Okay, alternating current goes back and forth, negative to positive, negative to positive. If we're going to talk about your typical household, electrical system, it's 120 volts AC. In this country, the change of direction rate is typically either 50 or 60 hertz. Okay, hertz meaning 1 hertz would be 1 cycle per second. So in the United States, anyway, the typical AC change of direction frequency is 50 to 60 hertz. So the AC is changing direction 50 to 60 times a second. DC never changes direction. Okay. Cars operate off of DC, direct current. Okay. The standard is 12 volts and direct current. Okay. So an alternator internally is producing AC voltage, but there's a diode pack, which what's again called is rectifying it to DC voltage. It's also, though, as part of the diagnostic process, a good technician will check to see, is there AC voltage coming out of the alternator? Okay, because if there's typically up to 6 of these diodes, there's a positive and there's a negative diode in this rectifier pack. And if one goes bad, and they can go bad in different ways, it can allow the system to start producing AC voltage on top of the DC voltage. Now, the good news is that typically this doesn't cause any harm to the car, but the computers don't like it, okay? They're not designed for it. So typically a technician, if he's doing a proper test, he will test for AC voltage. Now, the standard is no more than about 250 millivolts of AC voltage coming from the charging system. A person could say, well, what does that mean? Well, 1,000 millivolts would be 1 volt. So 250 millivolts at maximum would be about 1/4 of 1 volt of AC voltage coming out of that charging system. If it's any more than that, that's not a good thing. And so, again, it can actually, I mean, a car could come in with a drivability issue that it's kind of going sort of bonkers or whatever, and the problem could end up being, well, it needs a new alternator. And a person's going like, what? Well, it's because it's producing AC voltage and the computers don't like it, and so they start doing weird things, okay? So, again, it's part of the diagnostic process. So, generally speaking, at least with a BMW, the starting and charging systems are pretty reliable. Frankly, in the world of, you know, non-starts or slow cranking or whatever, probably the biggest single item that's the problem is the battery. Okay, certainly from a diagnostic process, that's where a technician should start, is with the battery, since that is the main supply for the whole car. Okay, and certainly if a car by chance has multiple batteries, then there's, you know, multiple things to check. But basically, you start from a diagnostic standpoint at the battery and go from there. And so there's different tests. There's state of charge, state of health. A technician should be checking the connections. I have the hiccups. Should be checking the connections to the battery as well as the ground connections. Again, depending upon what test results that they get from there, and if this car is, let's say, cranking over slowly or whatever, It's going to be a point where they're going to want to check the connections at the starter itself. They're going to want to check the ground cables and ground connections between the body and the engine. Okay, these are all things that if they're corroded or loose, it's going to affect how the car starts. Okay, so, you know, diagnostics is kind of a fluid situation. Yes, there are standard procedures that you should follow, but you kind of, you know, you have to keep an open mind. Okay, I mean, frankly, I had one here recently that the customer called and he says, yeah, I want to replace my battery. You put it in 35 months ago. It's you know, it's a prorated warranty, blah, 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 because his engine was starting to crank slow. Okay. And it kind of, the appointment kind of went interesting in that the first thing that happened is he didn't tell me he was going to wait. Okay. The good news was is that I didn't have anybody else waiting at the same time. You know, again, I'm a one-man shop, so I can only work on one car at a time. And so I don't certainly don't schedule two people waiting for their car at the same time. Luckily, there wasn't anybody else there at the moment. But so he just wanted a new battery. You know, I go, well, look, I can do some diagnostics. And so I did check the battery. Yes, it was low. The state of health on it was not too good. So I told him, I said, well, but the car was cranking over slow and it was, you know, he was concerned it wasn't going to start. So I went ahead and replaced the battery because again, I, you know, with him waiting, I didn't really have too much time to do too much diagnostics on it. Bottom line is I replaced the battery. Yes, it cranked over faster, which was good, but it still had a little bit of a kind of a hesitation to it. And I told him that, and he's like, well, I got to go. And that bottom line, he got about 3 miles away, turned the car off to run an errand, went to get back into it. Car wouldn't even crank over. Okay. I had to go to his location. He wanted me to put the old battery back in because, hey, the car started with that one. And guess what? It didn't help any. Okay. Car wouldn't crank over. Bottom line, the starter went bad. Okay. And I had to diagnose it out in the field, which I don't normally do. And he didn't even want to believe that. He goes, I don't believe it. And I go, look, you know, I've been working on these cars for 36 years. This can happen. A starter can potentially not give any warning. And he didn't want to believe it. And he didn't want to pay to have the car towed. So I was like, well, I'm not replacing it here. Okay. And he just kind of, well, I'll figure it out on my own. And okay. And I thought, wow. You know, I mean, it just kind of the whole appointment kind of went sideways. And frankly, it started off not good with him not telling me that he was going to wait for the car. So keep that in mind if you're, you know, if he had called me and told me what was happening and that he wanted to wait for it, I wouldn't recommend him waiting for it is what would have happened from the get-go. As far as that, hey, look, there's the possibility this is not a battery issue. It could be something else. So I would have recommended to him not to plan on waiting. But unfortunately, he didn't tell me any of that, and he didn't even tell me he was going to wait for it. So it just kind of went a little bit sideways there. So anyway. But again, the battery normally is kind of the biggest problem. But I will say, now that I just told that story, I will say on later model BMWs, I am seeing more of starter issues, okay, where they are going bad what I would consider to be a higher rate based on what I used to see with the older cars. What, you know, whether that's by design or again, it just, you know, it's the way it is. But I am doing more starter replacement jobs on BMWs than I typically have in the past. But, you know, it's just kind of the way it is. But it still has to be diagnosed properly and to come to that conclusion. So, and the bad part about starters is they don't necessarily give any kind of a warning. Sometimes they will, a lot of times they won't. And so you can end up potentially being stranded. It's never a good thing for anybody. So I hope that covers it for you. Again, I just wanted to kind of give you a basic understanding of starting and charging systems. Hopefully you've learned a few things along the way on this one. And again, I want to apologize for my voice. It's just, I can't really wait, you know, several weeks to do podcasts. So I have to kind of stay up with them. So appreciate your time. Appreciate you listening. Again, as usual, if you want to get a hold of me, or I'm always open for new ideas or subject titles. I really appreciate it when people, let me know that, whether it be via calling me at the shop, if they're local, or certainly through my email, which is bkpodcast5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. I do also, of course, I have a repair shop in Newbury Park, California, which is Brad's Motor Works. If you want to check out, I've got a couple different websites you can check out. And that's also an easy link to get to the podcast, which if you're already listening to it, you know how to do that. And I appreciate your time. I hope you learned a couple things. I hope you have a great today and a fantastic tomorrow. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.